Jesus spoke to them again in the parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come."
Yeah, we've all probably received invitations at different times in our lives. Kind of like what Jennifer was talking about with the kids. You know, maybe it was for a birthday party or a wedding or a banquet or a special event. But when we receive that invitation, it's because someone wanted to invite us to join them for something that was special, for something that was important. And, you know, when you think about the Bible, it is full of invitations that are graciously extended to men and women to join God, to be a part of what He's doing. And He tells us to come, follow me, you know, be a part of what I'm doing. And He wants us to join with Him. And in fact, Billy Graham points out that the Bible is a book of invitations from God to mankind, urging us to become His partners in redeeming this world. You know, we've been doing a sermon series from Experiencing God. And in this, we've been looking at seven realities of how we can know and do the will of God. And today we're looking at the third one that has to do with God's invitation. But let's just kind of review the first two. The first one was that God is always at work around you. The second one is that God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. And the third one that we're focusing on today is that God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. So the scripture that Christy just read to us is from the 22nd chapter of Matthew. And it's Jesus describing what the kingdom of heaven is really like, as He points out that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And now this is a parable where He's talking about that, and He says that the banquet is being prepared, and He sends out an invitation to everyone, and when the time is right, He sends His servants out there to summon them to come. Now this fits the custom of the Jewish time back then, because the way they would do it, if there was going to be a feast, like a wedding feast, then an invitation was just kind of sent out, but it did not include the time. You know, Jennifer talked about the little invitation that she showed the kids, and she read to them the date and time, but back then it was just invitation that you were to come. And they knew that when everything was ready and prepared, that then they would be notified that now is the time to come. You know, and really it's the same for us. We know that there is a standing invitation from God to be in fellowship with Him. But when the time's right for us to be involved in certain things, then He notifies us and sends that invitation and says, "Join me. Now's the time to be involved in this event or this one and work with me and participate and enjoy what I have to give you." You know, and when you think about it, who could refuse a king? You know, when he's having this grand feast, I mean, why would we ever refuse to be a part of that? But even more than that, when we realize that it's the Lord God Almighty, why would we ever want to refuse being a part of what He wants us to join in with Him and what He's doing? You know, do we just miss the invitation? Do we not realize what He's inviting us to do? You know, when we look at verse 5 in here, it talks about that they paid no attention. And they went off, and one went to his field and another to his business. You know, was that more important than joining God? Let's think about our own lives. Do we ever put other things ahead of God? You know, the normal things of life, do we think the routine things that we're doing have a higher priority than God? I mean, seriously. But look at our lives, because sometimes that shows when when we put other things as our focus, when God's not the focus of our lives, and when He's not the center of our conversations, when He's not the center of our schedule or how we spend our time or our money, you know, are we putting God first? And yet God always invites us to be a part of what He's doing. And when we accept that invitation, that's when we really, really experience God. You know, when I think about people that have listened to God and done as He's asked, you know, there's incredible examples in the Bible. But for us, there's lots of other examples too. And for us as Methodists, you know, we have a great example in John Wesley. You know, we know that he's the founder of Methodism. And when we look at his life, it is amazing all that he did. And he had to have done that as he followed God in what God was instructing him to do, because there's no way he could have done all that otherwise. You know, think of all the lives that he touched, all the people that he brought to the Lord. You know, there was a revival in England that he led that revival. And all the preachers that he put in place, and they touched lives. And even sending preachers over here to America and setting up, you know, the processes that we used in the Methodist Church. And so just what he did as far as bringing people to the Lord and involving people and coming closer and becoming disciples of Jesus Christ, you know, he also did other amazing things that you may not be aware of. Do you realize that he started hospitals, that he was very involved in medicine, that he started schools, that he worked with orphanages and started orphanages, that he was involved in the reformation of some of the things going on in prisons, and that he was a major one in the abolition of slavery in England. You know, he was so involved in so many things, and you look at that and you realize there's absolutely no way that a human being could do that on their own if they were not listening to God. If they were not paying attention to where God was working around them and joining into that. And when you read John Wesley's diaries, that's what you see. You see the exact thing that we're studying about paying attention to where God's working and recognizing that God loves us and that God invites us to be a part of that. And the same is true for you and I. God invites us to be a part of what he's doing. You know, besides John Wesley, there's many others who have incredible testimonies. And I want you to hear also about another man, Lonnie Riley, who is one of those that listens to God and pays attention when God says, hey, this is going on. And he's sensitive to what God is doing. And I started to share some of his stories, but he tells it so much better than I ever could. So let's watch this video.
There was an African-American guy in Lynch, who was 86 years old, World War II veteran, lived in a little old shack of a house, and he had a blue tarp over his roof, and every time it rained, that old man would have to move around to get out of the water that was dripping down from the ceiling. And they came to me and asked me if I could help him put a roof on his house. And there was an African-American guy in Lynch, who was 86 years old, World War II veteran, lived in a little old shack of a house, and he had a blue tarp over his roof. And every time it rained, that old man would have to move around to get out of the water that was dripping down from the ceiling. And they came to me and asked me if I could help him put a roof on his house. And I said, I'd be glad to. If God provides me the materials and the manpower, we'd be glad to help him out. And so a lady called from Georgia and set up a mission trip. And just before she hung up the phone, she said, by the way, you wouldn't need any shingles up there, would you? I said, oh, yes, ma'am, we could use some shingles. I got a house right now that needs some. She said, well, I have 248 squares I want to give you. And me, being ignorant of how to use shingles, I said, well, bring them up and we'll put them on this little house. This is a little, like, four-room house. And she said, no, you don't understand. There's 248 squares here. And that's a semi-load. I said, oh, bring them on up. I said, God must be going to use them or he wouldn't give them to me. And she said, well, that's our problem. We don't have a truck to get them from Georgia to Harlan County. I said, well, surely if God gives us some shingles, he wouldn't frustrate us not give us a truck. So we'll just pray and see what the Father's up to. But you see, God's plan is far exceeds what you can pray for. See, we didn't know that a church in another part of the state needed to be touched by him. We didn't know that. All we saw was our need. But see, the need of touching other people was far greater than just what we needed. And so a fellow called me from Western Kentucky, a pastor, and said he'd heard about our ministry, and God had instructed him to call me to see if there's anything he could pray with me about. I said, yes, sir, you can pray that God would provide us a truck. And he said, well, okay, I'll pray with you. And then on Monday, he called me back and said, Lonnie, God's answered your prayer. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, there was a young man saved in our church, and his dad is a trucker. I shared the need with our church. He went home, called his dad, who was in California. And he drove all the way from California to Atlanta, Georgia, picked up those shingles and brought them to Harlan County at no cost. Now, he was not a Christian. And I prayed with him and shared Christ with him when they were unloading those shingles. And he didn't get saved that day. But about 3 months later, that pastor called me back and said, you'll never believe who gave his heart to Christ today. I knew immediately it was Mr. Mallory because he saw God do something in his life that he couldn't explain except to say, this was God. Created in his own heart a desire to go all the way to Georgia and bring him up here for absolutely nothing. And that's the way God operates. But we don't allow him to operate and be God. Because we figure we got a better plan. It's much, you know, there's no pressure to this. There's no pressure to living life like this. Where's the pressure? Do you ever think you'll have a need in your life, which God scratches his head and says, well, I didn't think of that one. It's so simple, isn't it? But we think it isn't. And we try to make it so difficult that God can't really do what he wants to do. And last I heard, God's the master at being God. So we just let him. And God can open our eyes or close our eyes anytime he chooses. But when he opens our eyes and we're not looking to see God, if he opens our eyes and we don't see it, then we'll miss the greatest dimension of walking with God every single day. And it's untelling what God could do. Now, if God can do that in Lynch, Kentucky, where there's very limited resources, not a lot here, but God's here, how much more could he do in communities where resources are readily available and no one's looking? I mean, it could happen anywhere, anytime, if you just let God be God in your life. My wife and I went to Tasty Freeze and got us an ice cream, and kind of late one night, went to the Family Dollar store and sat in the parking lot. I mean, that's good entertainment for us around here. And we saw the young people driving up, and they were just cruising the town. And God began to burden our heart about a place for them to go just to find some security and peace and just to hear about Jesus in a non-threatening environment. And we didn't know what that would look like, but we just kind of felt like a teen center might be a good idea. And so we prayed for that. 2.5 years we prayed. Now, when we pray, we don't try to make it happen. See, when God brings something to us, we don't immediately go out and say, okay, let's put this thing in motion. No, God's already had it in motion or he wouldn't bring it to you. And so we have to wait to see where all the pieces line up so that we'll know what to do in response to what he wants. And so we prayed for 2.5 years. Now, what do you do when you pray? Well, to me, it's a threefold part. You ask, you seek, and you knock. After you ask, you better look. If you don't look, you're going to miss it. See, we pray, expect God miraculously to zap stuff down when all the time he's working around us and we don't see it because we're not looking. And God could answer your prayer, what you verbalize, and if you're not looking, he could answer it and you will know it. And so we began to look. And so 2.5 years later, this church calls us from South Carolina and said, has God put anything on your heart that you haven't seen become reality? I said, yes, he has. We're praying that God would bring into being a teen center, a place where kids can come in this non-threatening place. And they said, well, what do you see in there? I said, well, I see big screen TVs and, you know, what kids like, Xboxes, PlayStation 2, and video games, and pool tables, and chairs sitting around so you can, so they can sit around and talk and share Christ and just be non-threatened in that environment. They said, okay, we'll pray with you about that. A few weeks later, they called me back and said, we've got your stuff. I said, what stuff do you have? And they said, we've got your TVs and your Xboxes and your pool tables and foosball tables and all that stuff. And they said, we're bringing it up to you. I said, well, don't bring it up now. I said, I don't have any place to put it. And we didn't have a building. We just had all the material. So God rearranges things sometimes in reverse order what we think they ought to be. And so six more weeks went by or more. I can't remember now the exact time frame. But the local pharmacy sold out to another pharmacy in town and moved out of town. And he called me up and said, Lonnie, I have a 3-year lease on this building that I can't get out of. Can you use these buildings in ministry? I said, oh, yeah, this would be a great place for our teen center. And now we have Club 180 Teen Center, and Terry and Angie Burkeen from Tennessee, White House, Tennessee, direct that ministry there, and it's their own ministry now. And they'll have 70, 80, 90, I'm not sure what, somewhere in that range, three nights a week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And on Tuesday night, they open it up for a Bible study, and local kids come just to study the Bible on Tuesday, and they average about 30 in that. And so it's really a great ministry. And then Fazoli's shut down, Fazoli's Pizza, whatever it is, up in Ohio closed down. And they heard about our ministry through the Commonwealth Compassion Bridge, and they gave us $100,000 worth of equipment, tables, chairs. They're now in that Club 180, and we're storing what we couldn't put in there. So, and kids are coming to know Christ, and I think that's the key in our being discipled in the process. It's not just knowing Jesus, but it's teaching them how to respond to Jesus on a daily basis in their life. That's important. After the club opened up, the Lions Club here in town called me up and said they wanted me to look at this area down in Cumberland. And I met with them down here, and they showed me this chain link fenced area. The fence is 8 feet high, and the weeds were growing over top the fence. So we met for a while, and I said, well, do you need my help in cutting this grass or what? And they said, no, we have a putt-putt golf course in here that we would like to give to you to use. And I said, well, putt-putt golf course? So we cut it down, all the grass down, and there's an 18-hole putt-putt golf course that we now call the Oasis 180 that is almost directly in front of our Club 180 Teen Center. So it was ideal, you know, for that situation to be used for kids. And it's just incredible how the Lord provides stuff like that right in the nick of time, you know, and just in His time. There was a vacant lot in Lynch, and some of the city council members came to me and said, Lonnie, could you help us put a city park in here, some playground equipment and so forth for our kids? And I said, well, if God provides me the material, and that's the way I always pray, because I don't say yes, because I don't know what God's going to provide, but I'm always looking for that. And then a group from Georgia called and said they would like to come up and help do a park. I said, well, I've got just the park we need to do. So we put up a fence and cut all the weeds down. And this park, this church had $2,000 they were going to donate to build this park. And they called me and said, is that enough? I said, well, it must be enough unless God wants to provide otherwise. $2,000 is better than nothing at all, so we can put something that they can play on in there. And the fellow in Georgia was driving down the road on the interstate and got behind the semi and saw a sign on the back said the Playgrounds of the Carolinas and gave an 800 number. So he pulls out his cell phone, calls the 800 number, and gets the president of the company. Now, the odds of that happening are very, very slim. And he told him what was happening in eastern Kentucky and what he was doing to help the people here and about the playground equipment. He said, we had $2,000 to put toward this project. And he said, I'll send you a catalog. You choose the one you want, and we'll work with you. So they sent him the catalog, and he chose this wonderful playground equipment piece. I think it cost $10,000. Well, in the final analysis, he donated that to us, shipped it up here free, and the other group from Georgia came up and installed the playground. And then we opened it up with a backyard Bible club, saw 30 kids show up, and 8 of them received Christ the first week it was open. And now we have scripture on the fence and stuff like that. You know, it's just what God does in bringing a people to Himself. And so who can take credit for that except say God did all that, you know?
You know, it's an incredible testimony. And in fact, there's an entire DVD that tells 45 more minutes of story after story after story of Lonnie sharing, you know, what God's doing. You know, when you listen to God and you pay attention to His invitations. And in fact, when I was at First Carrollton, We invited Lonnie to come for our Mission Sunday, and he told us even more stories of what God is doing. So it's listening to God, and it's paying attention, and it's being willing to accept God's invitation. You know, there's incredible things beginning to go on in our church. And, you know, from talking to some of you have shared what's happening lately, you know, and how you've kind of heard God and some new things in your lives that are happening. And I think as a church, we're feeling like there's some special things going on. And I think it's been God's timing that we would be doing the HCI at the same time that we're doing Experiencing God. And maybe it was so that we would listen better to God and kind of know what He's doing. But it's exciting. And I think our church is poised at the edge of seeing even greater things done around us. And I don't know about you, but there is no place that I'd rather be than right here in this church as we watch God move in incredible ways. You know, God has always extended the invitation to all of us to be in fellowship with Him. And as we accept Him as our Savior and our Lord, and then we're sensitive to how God is moving around us, then He gives us more and more invitations to come and join Him and to be a part of exciting things. And as we do that, we really experience Him. So don't miss out. Don't be like the foolish ones in the parable that we read about. You know, don't make excuses. Don't find other things. Instead, we need to be sensitive to God speaking to us. We need to pay attention to the Lord God Almighty's invitation to each and every one of us. And when we do, it's going to be exciting as we truly experience Him. Let's pray. Glorious God, we do know that from the very beginning, You have invited us to be a part of who You are and what You are doing. And can there be anything greater than being in fellowship and relationship with You and serving You? And so, Lord, help us to hear Your invitations, to be aware when You're speaking to us, and to say, yes, Lord, when You call upon us, and when You say, all right, now's the time. Now's the time to come. Now's the time to be involved. And, Lord, particularly I pray for our church as we're at this point in within our church to make decisions of where do we go from here and how do we move forward. And, Lord, more than anything, we want to be in the center of Your will, because we know otherwise there's nothing left for us if we're not where You are. So guide us. Help us all to have open ears and open hearts. And Lord, if there is one that's here today or one that's hearing my voice that has never accepted You as their Lord and Savior, then I pray that You would move in a mighty way. Because that's the first step. And help them to really know that You are a loving God that wants the best for them. And help them to be willing to open up and just say, Lord, I want You as the one in my life to lead me each step of the way. Lord, for each and every one of us, draw us close to You and help us to be the people that You have created us to be. Help us to say, here I am, Lord, when You invite us. And help us to be ready to serve You with all that we have. To Your glory. Amen.